Amen.
Let's go, Jeff.
All right. Good morning, my friends. Good to see you all. So, it hasn't been a great week, I've got to be honest. Just got to be honest. Not one of my, you know, if there was like a weather alert and they said, you know, we have to cancel church, I probably would have been relieved. That's just where I'm at. I'm just being honest. It's just one of those weeks, man, you know? Like, it started off bad. Monday, like first thing Monday morning, I found out one of my buddies who served as an elder in the Caribbean. He was an elder in New York, moved to Jamaica, and really helped establish an eldership in all the Caribbean islands. I had seen him a month and a half ago in Charleston. He had just gotten a diagnosis of cancer. He had just gotten it right before I saw him in Charleston a couple months ago. And I found out on Monday he passed away. And I was like, you know how you realize like that was the last time I'm gonna see him alive? You know what I mean? Like, wow, I didn't realize that was gonna be it. Like 6 weeks he lived after his diagnosis. That was Monday morning. Because he died Sunday night at like 11 o'clock at night. So I found out Monday morning. And then on Monday, Jasmine texted me and said, you know, pray for Alex. His dad is not responsive right now. And the ambulance is here. And a couple hours later, Alex Jackson's father passed away on Monday. You know, I've known Alex since I moved here 18 years ago. And I was like, man, that's a lot going on. So I was trying to kind of process it and, you know, met up with Alex and just praying and talking. And then we had those meetings. I don't always like meetings, to be completely honest with you. So I'm like, wow, I got Thursday night, you know, Friday all day. And on Friday, found out Jeff Chester's mom passed away. So I was like, man, Jeff, another guy I've known since I've known Jeff since I've moved here. I mean, calling him up. And I was like, you know, I don't really like this week right here. I'm not feeling it. I was at the meetings on Saturday, and I was like, I was sitting there, and I just talked to Jeff, and I was not doing awesome. You know, I didn't really want to be there. And I shout out to Dana Hawkins, the elder's wife, who saw that I was long in the face and just came over and just ministered to me and really shared a passage with me that was meaningful to her and, you know, just was there for me and just kind of gave me that emotional kind of help, you know, and I ended up leaving the meetings early. Don't judge me. Amen, you know. You know, but I had to head out because I had to preach today. You know, like this is an out of season preaching today, but I don't say that to get pity. It helps me to preach when I'm just real, like with where I am, because it's just where I am, you know? I don't need your pity. If you want, you can pray for me to make it through the next 18 minutes. That would be awesome without losing my mind. So, because the topic that I'm preaching about today is so non-offensive and so blasé that it's like, it'll be easy anyway. So let's pray. Oh, Lord. Lord, I just love you. And I am grateful to be your son. And I'm grateful to be standing here right now. And I'm grateful for Alex Jackson because I love him. He is my brother. And I'm grateful for Jeff. I love that man. I love those two brothers. They have been in my heart. And I pray for you to give them comfort. The whole Chester family, all the Jacksons. And just watch over them, God. And this morning, help us to humbly approach your word, that when we see the words and the teachings of Jesus, that we have a deep amount of respect and humility, and help it to change how we think and how we act. Please, God, I pray that your spirit works powerfully. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I am going to get help with this sermon. I need a lot of help, so I'm going to get help from three teenage girls. So they're going to come up here in a few minutes. Amen. I'm serious. They're going to convict you probably. Amen. So I typed something into AI. Is there any data regarding how much consumer debt is accumulated in November and December of each year with Black Friday and Christmas shopping? And lo and behold, it spit out a lot of information. I'm only going to share two little bullet points with you that I learned with this interesting survey. In 2023, Black Friday alone resulted in approximately $20 billion in consumer debt, a 15% increase from the year before. $20 billion in one day. How many hours in a day? 24, almost $1 billion an hour. People going into debt one day of the year. Consumer debt. A significant concern is holiday debt hangover. As of November 2025, very recent data, 36% of respondents to a major credit counseling survey still carried balances from their 2024 holiday spending. Some folks are paying off stuff they bought last year. And the crazy thing is, about to do it right over again. Have every intention of starting over, shopping again, just the same way, not changing their viewpoints on anything. A few years ago here in the church, as we decided, you know what? We need to talk about money and stuff like this every year. We just need to do it. Jesus talked about it. Why we got to be afraid of it? Why we got to walk on eggshells? What's the point of that? What's the point of that? So we said, well, let's talk about it. And then we literally chose November, literally for this reason. Because we know that some of y'all are making decisions about spending money that you may not even have. Year after year in this month. And so we chose November to really talk about how to be wise with our money. We are new creatures as Christians. We've been given a new life. We are compelled by the love of Jesus to live lives that reflect him in our communities. He's our master. He should be the only master that we have. There's no room for anyone else. But the problem that we live in is we live in a country that worships money and wealth and possessions. Simple as that. So we got to be careful. So the title of this series that we're starting for the next few weeks is called Consumed. Finding freedom from the chaos of more. Wow. Y'all like that graphic? That's a Josh Brown graphic right there, so amen, that was good. Next week, Michael Burns will be in town. He's gonna talk about the concept of scarcity. Jordan Massey is gonna talk about simplicity. And on the last Sunday of the month, when we have five Sundays in a month, the last Sunday, we offer up for house churches to be in our communities. And so that'll be the last Sunday in November, just reminding you. The main passage today will be found in the Sermon on the Mount. We've heard it a lot, right? No one can serve two masters. Jesus said this. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Some of your translations might say money. This word mammon, but that mammon was the word used. But sometimes in English they'll put money or wealth or possessions. Because mammon, it was something a little more than just money. money, it's the spirit behind wealth. It's that spiritual power that can turn money into greed or self-sufficiency. You got to be careful. Mammon is not messing around. And mammon promises security, but delivers slavery. You got to be careful. It's not just the money. It's what money can do to us if we're not careful. And Jesus actually cares about how we think about money because he knows it's a serious spiritual issue if you neglect it. The reality is it's kind of like looking at the beach. You go to the beach, you can't wait to get to the beach. You go to the beach, it's a perfect day, 70 degrees, not too hot. You know, the sun is shining enough for those of you that need to get a tan and all that stuff, and you're like fired up. And you look at the beach, it's idyllic, right? You go, there's nothing wrong with this, right? But the reality is sometimes there can be a rip current, but you can't see it. But man, if you get up in that water And you think, I'm good. This is beautiful. There ain't nothing wrong. There's no harm here. This is the beach, man. But if you get in that current, it'll take you out. It'll take you farther than you want to go away. Even though you can't kind of really see it, there's a pull. And I think that's how money is, man. It just looks like it's just money. Yeah. But if you're not careful, it'll just take you out. And we gotta realize that we live in a country that, again, just worships buying stuff. I mean, you just got to, let's be honest. There's a book called Sacred Consumption, really interesting book. Says Americans recurrently shop because doing so fills needs in their lives. Needs for meaning, happiness, purpose, direction, and fulfillment. Needs that have historically been filled by religious beliefs and practices. Habitual, discretionary consumption. If you just swallow those three words. Yeah. Habitual, discretionary consumption of consumer goods and experiences is not merely retail therapy. It's also a sort of religion. One the vast majority of Americans buy into, pardon the pun, without even knowing it, the quasi-religion of consumerism. Guys, we buy so many non-essentials over and over again. We discard stuff, upgrade stuff over and over and over again. And we go into it, we go more and more into debt. Even mammon is powerful. Mammon will turn debt into a good thing. Right, you know, after World War I and, you know, right in the, you know, the 20s and stuff, they started these things called installment plans, which you could pay for stuff if you didn't have enough money. You could pay in installments, and that was, you'd go into debt. But so they decided to rebrand debt and call it credit. That's positive. That's mammon. That's how mammon works. Let's just put a positive spin on something really not good for you. Credit is a positive word, guys. But it's slavery. It's enslaving so many of us, right? So Matthew 6, Jesus gave a series of teachings. We'll look at them. He said, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where are you storing up your treasures, your stuff? Here's the deal. No matter what, think about it. No matter what we do with our stuff on earth right now in our lives, no matter what we do, it's not safe. No matter what, no matter where you put your money, it's not safe. It's not. You could put it in the S&P, Jeff. It's awesome. Great returns. All right. That can't crash. I mean, what? Like inflation. I got real estate. Real estate markets don't, bubbles burst all the time. I mean, you don't think, if you think about it, I mean, there's no secure, fail-safe place to put your stuff. You can go, oh, well, I got my possessions. I got storage units, and I can put them in there. Okay, great. Well, they're probably going to rot in there over time anyway. You're probably going to forget you got it. You're going to die and give it to somebody else, and they're going to sell it at the garage sale. Our stuff, it's just not. And in Jesus' day, when he uttered these words, even, wow. I mean, there's no Brinks trucks. There's no Fort Knox. People would literally hide stuff on the ground, put it in their wall. There was nowhere to even put excess stuff. It's vulnerable. Your stuff's vulnerable. Jesus was saying that 2,000 years ago. But guys, it really hasn't changed that much. Our stuff is still just as vulnerable. And so Jesus said, you got to learn, you got to figure out what the kingdom of heaven is. You got to figure that out. It's not a place up there, you know, where people are playing harps and all that kind of stuff. He's like, where the realm of God is, where the will of God is, where the presence of God is. You need to learn how to store up stuff there. That's what you need to learn how to do. What values does God have? What are the values that are important in his kingdom? That's what we need to be storing up. What about mercy and compassion? What about love? What about patience with people? Stuff like that. What about sharing the word of God with people? That's the kind of stuff that lasts and endures. It matters. You know, Jesus, he talked about this stuff. He even said it to a guy who said he had all kinds of money. He said, I've been following you. I've been following God. I got lots of money. You know, he said, what do I need to do? Jesus said, all right, for you, your situation, all right, you need to go sell all your stuff and give the money to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. This is the concept. Then you'll have treasure in heaven. And again, he's not saying all your stuff is flying in the air. That's not what he's getting at. He's saying you have a lot of excess. Why don't you distribute that to people that don't have? And then follow me. I got you. I'll take care of your needs. Put your trust in me, and don't put it all in your possessions. That's what treasuring in heaven is. It's putting your trust in what God can do and provide for you instead of your stuff. But this guy couldn't do it. He's like, I'm out. He walked away sad. Mammon got him. Mammon, that current. His possessions got into him. His possessions possessed him more than the other way around. We have to learn how to treasure the things of heaven, because those things shape our heart towards God. And when we treasure our stuff here, it takes our heart away from God and into our stuff, which kills us. So where's your treasure today? Because that's where your trust really is. Where's your stuff? That's where you really feel secure. So watch out, guys, because when Jesus says store up treasure in heaven, he's not telling us to hoard spiritual gold in a celestial vault. He's calling us to live for what God values, because heaven's economy is generosity and not greed, love and not luxury, devotion and not consumption. And here's the deal. Some of you may say, well, and I appreciate it. If you were here last week, one of the brothers mentioned it, and I hope you caught it. And he shared a view that he had that I think a lot of us have. And say, hey, if I give to the church, I'll give my little percentage to the church. All right? I'll give it. Here you go, church. There's my percentage. Now, this over here, you don't even talk to me about it. I'm going to do whatever I want with it, however I want to spend it. Don't you even talk to me about it. That doesn't change your heart any more than the atheist. At the end of the day, because it doesn't curb consumption. So, okay, you can give to God. And the rest, you can consume just as much as the next person if you don't change the way you view your stuff. Are you willing to take a stand against mammon? That's what is needed. Because a lot of you can live within your means. In this country, in Cobb County, a lot of you can live within your means and still be the most consumeristic person in the world. So be careful. Mammon can still get you, even if you are given to the church. But a lot of us need to give to the church. Because some of y'all ain't giving to the church, right? And you can say, well, Jeff, oh, okay, that means, look, I know there's some preachers out there say, I had a vision from God. You need to give to the church because I need a jet. There's some preachers that say stuff like that. You know, you need to get a church so the pastor can live good. Look, man, I done lived in the same house for 18 years. Y'all, and most of y'all know where that is, over by Sprayberry High School. I got a Chevrolet. I ain't trying to get more money from y'all so I can get more stuff for myself. All right? So don't even go there. You need it for your spiritual health. Yeah. If you're not giving to the church, that means mammon's probably got into you too deep. And that's why we talk about it, not to shame you, but to let Jesus' words have a chance to have an impact on you. The eye is the lamp of the body. This is like an odd saying for our language, right? So if your eye is healthy, some of your translations, there are a lot of different translations for that word healthy. You might even have a little footnote next to the word healthy, because it can mean so many different things. But a lot of scholars really do believe it means generous. It's leaning into the generous definition because of what Jesus has been talking about, right? Your eye, the vision that you have, is it generous? Is your eye, do you have a generous eye? Because if so, your whole body will be full of light. Your spiritual vision will be great. But what if your eye is unhealthy or stingy? That's what that word can mean, ponero, stingy. Then your whole body will be full of darkness, right? And if then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? What are you looking at? What are you letting in? What are you seeing? Do you have and does your vision have generosity at its core or stinginess? And I'm telling you, the stuff that we even allow our eyes to see has a deep impact on how we are. It does. And in our culture, you know, what you scroll is what you see. And what you see becomes what you seek. You know, when you start scrolling, Lord knows what you're going to see, a lot of ads and a lot of stuff to tell you all the stuff that you need. Because social media, man, you know, their algorithms out there, they profit from you being dissatisfied. Because you got to have more. You got to have other stuff. Be careful you're not discipled by those ads. Because they'll take you out. That's how Mammon's got his ways to get into you. And I really think he knows we have a consumer society. So he's using these tools to get you. Be careful what your eyes are seeing. Are the things you're seeing helping you become more generous or not? And are you willing to take a stand against it? And that's why I need my three prophetesses to come up here and share with you about kind of a stand that you can maybe take against Mammon. So please welcome these three amazing sisters coming up to share with you out of their heart. Amen. I've been trying to give y'all a leeway. Come on. What's up, Savannah? Y'all ready? We got Savannah, we got Ruby, we got Ashley, the prophetesses of power. There we go.
This works. Okay. Good morning, everyone. I'm Savannah. So this past week, we have decided to black out social media, which we're going to be doing all month. So we're going to share about how we've seen that change our lives and stuff. So through blacking out social media, I feel like I've learned how to work on my real relationships and not like relationships with people online, per se, and especially my relationship with God. I feel like I've had a lot of time to just reflect and to have special quiet times with Him. I feel like social media can tend to show like an unrealistic reality, and being away from that has made me feel a lot more grounded in myself and who I am. Social media was kind of like an escape for me. Like when times were hard or when I was stressed out, I was like, okay, I can do this and I can block out the world. But it's really helped me to focus on how to deal with stuff in that situation. Also, doing it with my friends has been very helpful. We get to keep each other accountable and tell each other when we mess up and win in our wins and stuff. So yeah, now Ashley's gonna share a little bit.
Hi. I'm Ashley. I'm part of the teen ministry, and like she said, last week we had a great lesson about social media. Thank you to Nick for that. The three of us have been doing a blackout, and basically we've just been texting each other nonstop about all the stuff that we've seen in our lives, all the benefits we've seen, all the stresses and the struggles that we've had, and times where we've been strong and or weak. For me, I'm not really on social media like Instagram or TikTok or Snapchat, and believe it or not, I'm not on Facebook either. So I've been focused more on the media aspect of the fast. So I'm taking a break from TV shows and movies and other media related things that have been taking away from my time with God. So not only has this freed up time for me, but it also allows me to use my time more productively. At the end of my days, I've been exhausted and just so tired, but kind of the good kind of tired where you're like, oh, I just had a great day and now I'm just so exhausted, but in reality, my soul has been revitalized. Something I've noticed about myself is that without the clutter that I've seen on social media or other media platforms, I've had more space in my brain just to think about others and to notice more about them. And that's just not only helped me strengthen and encourage others, but it's really refreshed my soul and just my walk with God. While this blackout definitely has its challenges, I found that it's inspiring and uplifting. I am so excited for a time where we get to be in a perfect place with God, and we get to enjoy all the benefits of social media, like communication and sharing our lives and connection without any of the negative aspects. I'm just so excited to spend all that time with you guys. My final encouragement to you is to not only partake in this experience, but to do it among good company. Like Savannah said, we need these relationships, and I know that this sacrifice would be so much harder if I didn't have these two women as pillars of strength, and I'm just so, and it has brought us together so much closer. Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds." One of the best parts about our churches is that there are always people who would love to support you and to build that relationship with you. And I think this is such a wonderful bonding opportunity. I can't wait for all of us to grow closer to God and together through this opportunity. And now Ruby's going to close us out with her thoughts.
Hi, I just want to say good morning, church, because I always want to say that. My name's Ruby. I'm in the teen ministry, and this media blackout has been really helpful for me, and it's really opened my eyes and allowed me to be a spectator in social media. I never realized how much we talk and live and breathe media all day long. My friends at school are usually talking about the newest celebrity updates or trying to remember an audio or sound they heard in the back of a video. And I'm guilty of this too, but I never realized how much I can bond with someone over a reel or a Taylor Swift post. And it's weird for me to think about having a friendship with someone based on a video we both liked rather than an experience we both shared. Not being on social media has really allowed me to connect better with my friends and not be so hung up on the media world and actually have a real conversation with some substance. I'm also grateful that God has given me friends who want to look at phone screens less and look at God more. And overall, I'm happy to continue trying to stay off the internet this month. So, yeah.
Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Amen. I'm inspired by them. And they're inviting us to join them in a blackout, a media blackout. I think we should consider it. I think you should strongly consider not allowing mammon into your life so deeply. Do it in your own way. Maybe like you saw there was differences in the way they approached it, but figure out a way to not let media consume your time. Don't be so consumed. We got to fight materialism and consumerism with everything we got. We cannot fall prey to the way this country thinks. That belief that wealth, possessions, and money bring fulfillment, it's a lie. We can't have actions of consumerism where we constantly just buy stuff over and over and over again. This is not the way God wants us to live. Jesus says, we cannot serve two masters. Either you're going to hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and mammon. You cannot. It's impossible. It is completely impossible. Jesus doesn't condemn possessions. Guys, we're going to have stuff, but he frees us from their control and the fear and the anxiety that all of it produces. And that's why we got to be resilient and we got to stand firm. Every culture has a God that must be confronted. For ancient Israel, it was Baal. For Rome, it was Caesar. I think for us, it is mammon. We got to confront mammon and not be afraid of him. We got to know how he operates, know how he works. And Jesus' remedy, I want all of you to read Matthew 6 after his teaching, because it starts with do not worry. Because he knows when mammon gets you, you're just anxious about your stuff. And you're not even thinking about other people. You're not. You're too much into your stuff. He knows. So don't worry. I want you to really reflect on Matthew 6, 19 through 34. But if you seek first his kingdom, his values, his realm, and invest your heart there, and your time, and your money, yes, all of those things, then you can be freed from the grip that mammon has on all of us. And I'm going to pray for our Lord's Supper right now. And I want to encourage you also with this bit of information. We're going to have three people get baptized today. All right? Three men. Amen. And if you add all their ages up, I think it comes out to 197 years. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Now I piqued your interest right there. But we are having three people getting baptized at the end of service. Praise God. Let's pray. Jesus, we are so grateful that your example inspires the young and the old. We remember you. We love you. We're grateful for your sacrifice that you hung on that cross. Your body was beaten. We take this bread in remembrance of who you are. We know that you bled for us. You felt it. And we drink this into our bodies, remembering the blood that you shed. And we also remember that no matter what happened to your earthly body, you were raised again and you are coming back. And we believe this, we proclaim this, and we honor you as we take the Lord's Supper together as a community. We pray in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.